For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
God tonight, and you know, when you come and listen to the word preached, you should come expectant to hear from the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your word. It's health to all our flesh. And we praise you, Lord, for that. Father, I ask that you open up people's hearts here to receive from you tonight in the name of Jesus. And that there be healing and health manifested in Jesus' name. Amen. So how to receive your healing from God. So tonight we'll be going through a few scriptures and understanding just some ways. Now, there are a few things that we're going to assume you know, but we'll touch on some things. For example, I'm assuming that you know that there is a lot on healing and health throughout the Word of God, throughout the Bible. It's not just a throwaway type subject. So the first thing that we need to understand, and sadly there's many that don't understand it, is that you have to prepare your heart in belief. You can't be a person that is full of unbelief. And we see, for example, in Mark 6, verse 6a, and he, Jesus, marvelled because of their unbelief. Also have a look at Matthew 13, verse 58. Let's have a look at that one. Now, you know that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10 tells us that. So healing must be part of him doing the will of God. And we can see those oppressed by the devil. You can see that sickness and infirmity and disease is all in that curse category. It's not God's will. Now, looking at Matthew 13, verse 58, you'll see something that's quite startling, really. And as we look in this, we see that it says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So we can see unbelief is a big obstacle. Now, faith is the opposite of belief. We'll look at that in a minute. Faith is all about believing God and acting upon what he says. Faith is not resisting God, but believing him. But here we see that, you know, the mighty works that Jesus was doing was healing and delivering people from evil spirits and so on. And, of course, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We see here that there were a lot of people that were in opposition to that. Within themselves, they were resistant to that. And Jesus marveled because of people's unbelief. If Jesus marvels because of people's unbelief, and it says there that Jesus could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief, hey, guess what? It's the same today. You know, he is the head of the body of Christ, the church. And so if there's unbelief in people, that's going to be a hindrance for them receiving from God. And it's not just in the area of healing, by the way. It's also in the area of believing for your salvation from sin and deliverance. All types of blessings can be stopped, can be hindered. Now, if you look at Hebrews 3, verse 12, now, people can have unbelief because they're just ignorant. They just don't know things. But when they start to know things, then they should be saying, well, I believe that. There's a lot of people that they just don't know about healing because they've never heard of it. They've never heard it preached or taught. They've never heard anyone really say that it's okay and true and proper for today and so on. And Hebrews 3 and verse 12, we notice a very important scripture about unbelief and how we must be, because it is a warning to us. Hebrews 3, verse 12, take heed, brethren, that's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't it? Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Okay? Now, he gave the example in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. He talks about the children of Israel not being able to go into the promised land, and it was their unbelief that caused them not to be able to go into that blessing. In fact, if you look at verse 19 of that same chapter, it says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. What's the solution here? Well, first of all, we need to get ignorance out of our life. Okay, we need to be people that understand the word, understand that unbelief is evil and should not be in us, and we should say and make a deliberate choice and say, I choose to believe the word in the name of Jesus, and I refuse to enter into unbelief, and I rebuke and come against doubt in the name of Jesus, because Satan wants to come and immediately snatch the word out of people's hearts. That's his operation. Satan blinds people as well and wants to keep them in darkness and ignorance. But the Lord's word is light. The entrance of thy word gives light. So we know that the Lord is wanting people to enter in, but unbelief is a big obstacle. Another obstacle is, we see it on the screen here, Galatians 5 verse 6b, faith which worketh by love. Another obstacle is not walking in love. Love of God, love of your neighbour. And that can be manifested in people's lives through unforgiveness, for example, and through not showing love, because love is all about action. It's not just about words, but about action. You know, God is the supreme example of love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So you can see that the supreme action of love is giving. So there's action in that. So we have to examine our hearts and say, well, I know the Bible says to walk by faith, but you know, if there's problems in your heart about walking by faith because of things like unforgiveness, you might say, well, they did that, such a horrible thing. We need to forgive people by faith. We say, I forgive them by faith, and I cast all my care upon you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And frankly, it is a big problem. You see, one of the big things, if you look into what the faith and healing preachers of yesteryear said, that is that they found that people would go out of an environment of faith and belief and they'd lose their healing because they weren't guarding their heart and they were allowing all types of other words to come in and they were allowing things to get in the way. And one of these things was not walking in love. So faith which worketh by love, faith works by love. Love is the fuel for faith. Okay, so let's have a look at another example in Mark 11. Mark 11, how must you be if you are to be a person of faith? Mark 11, we'll look at verse 22 first of all. Mark 11, 22. Now, this is a commandment from Jesus in Mark 11 verse 22. It says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. So that's just as much a commandment as the commandment, love God with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. Have faith in God is just as much a commandment. And then if you go down to verses 24 and 25, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, do you desire healing and health? That's a thing. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Some people stop there. And we'll talk a bit about believing that you receive them and you shall have them in a minute. But notice what he says in verse 25. And, so it's linking to verse 24, isn't it? And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Let's just stop there. So he's saying there that if you're not going to forgive, it's going to be a problem to you receiving, to you walking in faith, to you receiving in faith things from the Lord. Because faith works by love. Faith works by love. And love is a very important ingredient. So you've got to prepare your heart in belief to be able to receive the word. If there are things, sins, hidden sins, and I'm not a person who's like a policeman going out and trying to find people's sins. You know, you are answerable to the Lord. And repentance is the great clearinghouse for people. It will clear away all that rubbish because you're honest with yourself, you're honest with God, and it will clear away all the rubbish and you'll be able to then go forward. Have a look at John 5. John 5. We're still on prepare your heart in belief. John 5. We'll look at verses 2 to 9, first of all. John 5, 2 to 9. Now, Jesus healed a man here that was paralyzed. Verse 2. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time, isn't it? 38 years. Okay, so the Lord is not hindered by barriers of time. All right? You might say, well, he's always been like that. Always been blind or deaf or had this infirmity and so on. That's not a hindrance to the Lord. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? What's Jesus on about? He wants people to be whole, doesn't he? Okay. You might say, well, why didn't he heal all the others there? Why don't I go into the hospital and lay hands on everyone that's sick? All around this preparation, okay? It's all around what is the leading of the Lord. Well, the leading of the Lord was to have this service here today, advertise for people to come along. There's opportunities for people to hear the word. Can you see what I'm saying? Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Jesus could see faith, and we'll see in a minute a bit more about this. Jesus could see faith in people. If you go to verse 14 now, verse 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. What is Jesus saying here? Sin can attract bad things into people's lives. So what is the lesson we should take from this? Repentance is the great clearing house. Repent of sin. If there's anything in the way, you know, be honest with the Lord. Be honest with yourself. Okay? And Jesus is saying to this man, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. He's giving him a warning. Well, people can sin through unbelief. They can sin through not walking in love. They can sin by all types of things, as you know. Now, as Christians, we are to walk in holiness. You know, there's a lot of temptation around, but we must be honest before the Lord. The next area is approach God by faith, knowing his will. Now, knowing the will of God is very important. We've already quoted Mark 11:22b, and we see here, have faith in God. Now, if you go to Romans 10, we'll look at a couple of scriptures here. Romans 10 verse 8, first of all. Romans 10 verse 8, and then we'll look at verse 17. Now, 17 is very well known by people, but the problem is that there's often a barrier to hearing. Okay, so let's have a look at what verse 8 has to say. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, that means very close to you, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So the word that produces faith. Now, one way to get it into your mouth and into your heart is through preaching. You're listening to godly preaching, believing preaching, that is, the word is believed and taught. And where does it have to be? Where does the word have to be? In your heart, that's in your inner man, and in your mouth. Now, we won't turn to it, but we know that the spirit of faith, that's a little S, spirit, talking about your born-again spirit. Spirit of faith says, I believe and therefore speak. So it's got to be in your heart, in your mouth. Now go to verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now it's no use, and some people are like this, no use saying, well, I hear the word of God on Sunday or at a special service or something like that, but then in their personal life they're neglecting the word, they don't read it, they don't study it, they don't confess it, and frankly listening to all types of other things, a lot of which might be at variance to the word of God. So you've got to get you've got to have a hearing heart. A heart that's attentive to the Lord. A heart that says, I want to know your will. And God's will is his word. So when Jesus said, have faith in God, he's not joking. And we know there's many scriptures that talk about the will of God for healing. For example, 1 Peter 2:24b, by whose stripes, that's the lashings, this is the stripes that were put upon Jesus, ye were healed, by whose stripes ye were healed. Let's also go to Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Galatians 3. So we're approaching God by faith. And you've got to be serious about it. It's not a, see, walking by faith is not a part-time thing. For the believing Christian, it's a full-time thing. And so Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, the Spirit of God is going to reveal things to you. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Do you believe that part of that curse is sickness and disease and infirmity? Well, you should, because if you go back into Deuteronomy 28, we won't look at it tonight, but right through it talks about the curse being laid upon people who are out of the will of God, and it's things like disease and infirmity and sickness and so on. We could go on and on. There's much more to the curse. But notice it says here, being made a curse for us. He's the perfect substitute. So redemption must have, Jesus took sin and all of its curse attached to sin. And he's redeemed us, he's brought us back from all of that, he's paid the perfect price of his blood. The Bible calls it precious blood of the Lamb. And so he took the curse that we deserved, that the blessing of Abraham might come. He's given us blessing. Do you think healing and health is part of that blessing? Well, it certainly had to be. We know, for example, in Hebrews 11, won't turn to it, but both Abraham and Sarah, his wife, are in that list of people walking by faith and receiving blessings of healing and blessings of strength in their body. In fact, the Bible says that Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Okay? So we know that strength must be part of God's blessing. We know that in order for us to receive that, it has to be by faith, because Hebrews 11 is known as the great faith chapter. But the thing is, we can go on and on and on through many, many scriptures which show that it's God's will for healing. Have a look back in one we know, we should know well, Psalm 103. I'm only going through some tonight. Psalm 103. And we'll look at verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 103. Verses 1 to 3. Now starting from verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And that's a good thing to understand. You should talk to your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Our society and many in the church have forgotten the benefits of God. And they might be able to say, well, I'm ignorant of it. In today's society, I think, and particularly with the technology we have, there's less that you're able to say that excuse. And forget not all his benefits. Now we see here a colon at the end of that verse. What does that mean? It means it's going to list the benefits. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Do you think one of God's benefits is forgiveness? Yes. Do you think one of God's benefits is healing? Well, that's what it's saying. Who healeth all thy diseases. So if God is providing these benefits, it must be his will for us to have those benefits. We're emphatically told not to forget all his benefits. We could go on and on. There's quite a few there. You can read it for yourself. Have a look also at Matthew 9, verse 22. So approach God by faith. When Jesus went about preaching, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Do you think that within that preaching, there would be a message that would be about deliverance and healing? Absolutely. Absolutely. Matthew 9 and verse 22. 9 verse 22. And we see here, this is about, well, let's go back to verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years is a long time, isn't it? Remember, time is not a barrier to God. Okay? 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She must have thought that wholeness was something to be acquired, and she must have heard about Jesus. Verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Do you think a person's faith has something to do with them receiving their healing? The answer is yes. And you see it quite a few times in the Gospels. We'll look at another time. Let's look at Luke 18, verse 42. Luke 18, verse 42. You know, Hebrews 11, verse 6, we won't turn to it, says it, but without faith it is impossible to please him, impossible to please God. Do you think that we should know a lot about faith then? If without faith it's impossible to please him, we should know a lot about faith, shouldn't we? We should know how to walk by faith, how to live by faith, how to stand by faith, how to receive by faith. We should know what faith is. Sadly, there's a lot of ignorance about it. So we're looking at Luke 18 and verse 42. 18. Verse 42. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. There's a couple of things we could get hold of there. Part of salvation must be deliverance from infirmity and sickness and disease. Thy faith hath saved thee. And this man's faith was involved. Verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So what glorified God? Him being healed and receiving his sight. That glorifies God. Glorifies God when we receive good things by faith. Glory to God. And that leads us into the next one, the final slide. Believe you receive by faith. So let's turn to Mark 11. And that one should be reading verse 24 there, Mark 11. 24. And 25. So believe you receive by faith. You've seen tonight, I pray, that it's God's will for you to be healed. That we're to approach God by faith. That we're to deal with things that might be barriers, such as unbelief. We're to deal with those things. And now God is saying to us here that you can receive things. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, for example, healing and health, when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. We'll read verse 16 as well. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. It will remain a barrier. But notice it's believe you receive them. Believe that you receive them at the time you pray. Now the Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Recovery is available at that time. Recovery is available. You believe you receive your healing by faith then. You say, I believe the scripture, I believe the word of God, and I believe I receive my healing. When hands are laid upon me, I know and I believe I receive my healing. And from that time forward, you say, thank you, Lord, for my recovery. And as long as you're honest with yourself and, you know, you're not holding unbelief and unforgiveness against people and so on, or you might be saying, that preacher, I can't stand his voice, or things like that. Now you say, I believe I receive by faith. You know, God's not holding things back. He's not holding things back from us. And I want to conclude in the book of James. James chapter 1, first of all, verses 5 and 6. And then we'll give an opportunity for people to be prayed for. James 1. Now, this applies not just for wisdom here, but for anything. Because you're asking God, you're going to the Lord. We already saw it, what things soever you desire. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, he's not holding back, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, a lot of people have found that now they get prayed for, they might need to get their faith built up as well. And that's good to be prayed for, but you've got to get your faith built up as well. Okay, we've talked a lot about building it up. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Also have a look at chapter 5, verses 14 to 16 of James. James chapter 5. 14 to 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So particularly that would apply for people that really can't move or can't do anything for themselves apart from calling for the elders of the church. Okay, there's several ways that the Lord has given for you to be able to receive your healing. You can ask for it in faith. You can have hands laid upon you. You can call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. So the Lord must think that healing and health of his people is very important. He's made about five or six ways you can get healing. You can get healed. You can believe the word and you can rebuke sickness, and the stronger you are in faith, the more you'll be able to do that. Notice what it says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. He's got that word save again. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Cleansing of sin as well. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why would you pray one for another that you may be healed if healing was out of the will of God? You don't pray for things that are out of the will of God, do you? No. We pray for each other that we may be healed. God wants us to be healed and healthy and strong. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Just bow your head and let's quieten our hearts before the Lord. I want you to examine your heart as we come around this time now. Just before the Lord, you say, Lord, I've heard the word tonight and I believe it. Help me, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you deal with me. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask that you move upon your people, that you help your people understand. Anything that needs to be moved out of the way for there to be receiving of healing, let it be tonight in the name of Jesus.